Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
And as we get started diving into the Word today, and it's this question: who do you love and what do you love? If you and I sat down together over a cup of coffee in a matter of just a few minutes, it'd be obvious what it is that you cared most about or who it is you cared about, and it'd be obvious what it is that I care about or who I care about. The conversation would naturally head in that direction, and because right now is the fall, one of the topics of conversation I would be ready to discuss would be college football. Now, I don't know what are the areas of life that you're passionate about. I don't know who it is that you're passionate about. But we don't normally start conversations about things we don't care about. The reason is because we don't really have a lot to say about things that don't really matter to us. So what is it that you love? Who is it that you love? Because talking about who or what you love comes easy. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to prepare for it like a test. But the people in life that you love, you don't just know of them, but you really know them. You know what they're good at. You know what they're terrible at. You know how they would respond to something, or at least you have a pretty good guess. You know their sense of humor. You know what makes them cry. You know what makes them angry. And maybe some of the time that's you, because you're close to them in this life. It's easy to talk about who we love, easy to talk about what we love. Those conversations aren't things we have to engineer. They just happen. They just leak out of our mouths. We can't keep quiet about the people in our lives we're passionate about. So who is that in your life? Run through their face in your mind. What are those topics in your life that you are passionate about? What consumes your mind on a continual basis? Because what or who you think about is a constant topic of conversation that you enter into. And many times we enter into talking about that thing or that person without even realizing it. What we care about is what we talk about. What we think about is what we find ourselves excited to discuss or debate with other people. And what or who we love the most is our most frequent topic of conversation. Now, Jesus helps us to see this early on in our ministry as a part of his longest sermon recorded, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, as he did so often, and he did so incredibly well, he wouldn't just tell people what was true, but he would tie it to a picture or a metaphor so they could really experience the truth, not just hear the truth. They could really get inside of it and kind of poke around and say, yeah, I get that. That makes sense to me. In Luke chapter 6, here's an image Jesus gave us. He said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Okay, makes sense. He goes on, he says, each tree is recognized by its own fruit, by the fruit that it produces. And he gives an illustration. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man, now he's making the correlation to humanity, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of us. Now, all of us know this is true. We can't deny this. What we care most about is what explodes outside of our mouths. Do you love your spouse? Then chances are your words reveal that on a regular basis. You speak well of them. Do you love your kids? Well, it'll be hard for you to hide the fact that you're a proud parent if you love and appreciate your kids. Are you in love with yourself? Well, if you are, there might be people that avoid you because all you ever talk about is you. Do you love the good old days, but you don't really have a lot positive to say about these old days? What do you love to hate? Some people seem to hate a lot of things, and that's what they want to talk about. Many of us are blind to. We don't even realize the focus of the majority of our conversation, the thing we get most excited to talk about, are the things we disagree with. Do you love your work? Your conversation will reflect that. Do you love your car? Do you love the toys that you have to play with? Do you love sports or a sport or a team? You're going to talk about it. Do you love entertainment? Because you're binge watching that show on Netflix and you just can't wait to have another conversation about it. I want to give you kind of an assignment for tomorrow and this week. And it's very practical. It's very easy. In fact, you might be here today and say, I'm not a Jesus follower. I'm new to Fusion. I'm not quite sure what I believe yet. That's fine. You can do this assignment too. This is an assignment for everybody. I want to encourage you, when you wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, whatever your routine is, don't do it the way you normally do it. I want to challenge you to listen, to be an active listener to the people in your life, especially those that live in your house, as they go about their morning ritual, to just listen to what they talk about and identify what it is or who it is they care about most of all. Do the same thing tomorrow or whenever it is this week that you go to work. When you get on the bus, when you get to school, when you're arriving into the place you're going to spend the majority of your time this week, no matter what your normal routine is, break your normal routine and find a place where you can stand or sit and just listen to the conversation around you. Listen, not so much to the words of the people near you, but listen to the hearts of people near you, because what's in their heart will come out of their mouth. And as you listen to people around you, you'll also start to notice that the Holy Spirit is building within you more compassion for the people around you, because you begin to see the areas of their life they're so focused on and dependent on and they think is going to save them. Now, if we're honest, most of the time we talk a lot more than we listen. We talk a lot at home. We talk at work. We talk at school. In the car, we listen sometimes to other people talk on the radio. And even sometimes we talk to ourselves. Hopefully you're not one of those ones that does it in kind of a creepy way that people are like, wow, that's weird. But we have internal conversations with ourselves often. And what we love the most is the focus of our internal conversation. Now, throughout this series, especially last Sunday, one of the things we reflected on was this idea that what we do flows out of or is driven by what we believe. What we do reveals what we believe. How we act, react, and behave reveals what it is we believe deep enough, foundationally enough, that we actually build our lives around. Those are our core beliefs. And as God shows us in Ephesians 2, that the world in which we're born into is not one that can sustain a life. It's not a healthy way to build our life on. We live in a world that's not living but dead. We live in a walking dead world where human beings who are the pinnacle of creation, the authority in creation, human beings now just roam the planet. Because of our sinful nature, we behave and make decisions based on our desires in the moment, based on our appetites, based on our temptations. I mean, we're like truly a zombie or a walker just kind of roaming around the world, and without God's assistance, without his intervention of his Holy Spirit, we just crave ourselves and we feed ourselves by whatever it is our flesh desires. That's the world we're born into. No matter how old we get or how much we think we mature, what we do always, 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 always reveals what it is we truly believe enough to build our lives around. In the same way, what comes out of our mouth, what we talk about, the topics of conversation we're most excited to kind of enter into, reveal what it is that we're most passionate about, what it is we care about more than anything else in this world. I remember back in the summer of 2006, you know, a little over 11 years ago, at that time, I had moved here in June of 2005 to be the youth pastor at Fusion, or what then was Cobleskill Wesleyan Church, in the little building down on Legion Drive. And so I'd been here just a little over a year, and I remember that morning I had the opportunity for about 4 years here and about 4 years in Ohio to be a staff pastor working with an incredibly gifted senior pastor named Jeff Jones. Some of you still know Pastor Jeff, and I got to work for him for a little over 8 years. And I remember that week, it was in late July, I believe, on a Tuesday morning early at like 4:30 or 5, we hopped in his car at the church. And we headed off to New York City for a one-day conference that was in Queens, that was hosted at this church in Queens. Now, all of us could say we know that, you know, getting from here to Queens is 3 to 3.5 to 4 hours, depending on traffic. And I remember that almost the entire trip down, I was talking. I would not shut up. I just kept talking and talking and talking and talking. Now, Jeff's a pretty good talker, too. So the fact that I had kind of silenced him was an indication that I hadn't really realized. And after about 2 hours into the conversation, I remember him kind of cutting me off, interrupting me, and saying, "Wow, Fetter, I think you really like this girl because you won't shut up about her." It had only been a little over about a month and a half that I'd start dating this spunky, cute, funny little blonde named Kathy. Now, all of us have conversations, all of us talk, and what or who we talk about, what consumes our dialogue, reveals what it is that we're in love with or we're falling in love with. Now, with social media, this has gone to a whole new level, because you can basically measure what matters most to people by looking at what they post. I mean, it's for public knowledge, and some of it should be private, and people go public with it, right? For instance, new parents that have a new baby, My goodness. I mean, every day you get to see that new baby in a new set of clothing, a new outfit. You find out what they're eating. You find out how well they slept the night before. You might even be lucky enough to find out if their diaper was filled with number one or number two and, you know, what it looked like. Maybe even some share pictures of it. I know, it's disgusting. Anyways, new parents share online about every milestone that this little human baby is experiencing, because most of us had no idea that at some point we smiled for the first time, or at some point we were able to stand up for the first time, or roll over, or the first tooth came in, or somebody will share that their kid finally said Mountain Dew for the first time. I know it's a momentous occasion. But new parents talk about their new kids to everybody, right? They don't mind answering the same questions over and over and over and over again. How's the baby sleeping at night? They want to talk about it. How are they feeding? Are they latching? How's the breastfeeding going? They're ready to talk about it, right? What diaper brand do you use? Because we use this, and what do you think? And let's compare diapers, right? I mean, we talk about what it is we're passionate about. We talk about what we care about. We talk about who we love. But this also presents something we need to reflect on. See, often we lack the self-awareness to listen to ourselves talk. Do you listen much to what comes out of your mouth? Might be easy for you to identify someone you know that definitely doesn't listen to what comes out of their mouth because they never stop talking. And when they start talking, you start moving away from them. But do you listen? What about you? Do you listen to what it is that comes out of your own mouth? The tone you use, the words you use, the volume, how it reveals the condition of your heart, your intention. Does how you talk when you're at work differ from how you talk at home? Does how you talk on Sunday morning as you're preparing for church differ from how you talk Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening? That, is there a lack of integrity integrating your faith and your journey into every area of your life? If I assigned someone, in the same way I gave you a practical challenge to listen this week, what if I assigned someone that you didn't necessarily know, I assigned them to you to just listen to you for a week? What topic would most often be talked about? What would be revealed about what it is you're most passionate about? Would it be your family? Would it be your work or your education or schooling? Would it be your hobbies, things you like to do in your leisure time? Would it be your finances and your money? Are they an often conversation of topic? Would it be your opinions of things going on in our world or our country? Would it be politics? Would it be the news? Would it be your favorite sport, your favorite sports team? Would Jesus be on the list? Would your faith journey? Would conversations about your faith journey be near the top, or would it be much further down? Would it be something that you enter into discussion about, that you reflect on, that you dialogue with other people about? Or is it something that maybe you're present and somebody else is talking about it, but you're not really entering into the dialogue? Is it something that's kind of contained to 90 minutes on Sunday mornings when you're present for somebody talking about it, but it's not necessarily you participating in it? See, Jesus said, out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So do you talk about Jesus? Do you find yourself sharing about this good news that has rescued you? Has he captured your heart? Do you feel compelled to think about him and talk about him? Or is there a gap between what you say you believe and how you actually behave in relationship to your faith journey with Jesus Christ? When you come to know and experience the love that God has for us in Christ, when you realize God loved us so much that he was willing to suffer and die for our sins, even though we were his enemies, when we meet Jesus and experience him kind of pouring out his spirit into our heart, filling us with himself, filling us with his love, reminding us of how holy he is and how unworthy we are, and yet how much he loves us right where we are. I mean, you have to talk about it. Like, the further you go into that journey, the more you can't shut up about how incredible this good news is. Throughout this series, we've been identifying that often as followers of Jesus, we're incredibly grateful for the price Jesus paid on the cross. And we all have good intentions in our faith journey, I know that. But there's often a language barrier we face. There's like a wall in front of us that often is between what we're experiencing about God's grace and how he saves us and us being able to talk about it. The capacity of the gospel, the scope of the gospel, how it impacts all of our lives. And we've talked about this idea of becoming fluent in speaking the truth of the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, now I'm not talking about memorizing certain doctrines that we write down and attempt to memorize so we can regurgitate them. No. I'm not talking about memorization. I'm talking about the very real, dynamic, evident relationship, power of God to create this world, to redeem us through Christ, and to rescue us from spending an eternity without him. The gospel is not just dogma, though it is doctrine that we believe. The gospel is not just history, though it is historical. It's not just from the past, although it did happen. The gospel is the power of God made available to us through the Son of God who gave his life for us to fill us with himself. And all that power that was exerted 2,000 years ago that raised Jesus from the dead, it has not diminished. In fact, Jesus said before he died, he said, when I leave, you'll be able to do the same things that I could do. You'll be able to do even greater things. The power of God has not diminished. It's the same as what existed 2,000 years ago in Jesus. It's just spread out around a couple billion people on planet Earth now. We carry the power of salvation around with us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. God is with us. I mean, that's the essence of Christmas. It's the essence of this idea of Emmanuel, God stepping out of eternity into creation and giving us a perspective of who he is through his son and then laying down his life to restore a bridge of relationship with us, to conquer that gap, that void between what we say we believe and how we actually behave, so we can start to experience it. Now, sometimes when this conversation is approached, do we feel we're ready to talk about the gospel? Normally, the first thing we think is we're not trained or equipped to do it. So maybe even right now you kind of feel, I feel a little guilty. Yeah, the topic of Jesus doesn't come up a lot in my speech. I don't talk about it a lot at work. And I'm not saying you should offer silly platitudes that in the middle of people talking at lunch break, you just say, praise the Lord. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying be weird about it. I'm not saying be awkward or be uncomfortable. But I'm saying if you have a relationship with Christ, a relationship with Jesus, and you're experiencing love and joy and peace in your experience, you sense his love, not in an ooey-gooey romantic kind of way, but you see his love because of what he was willing to do to demonstrate his love for you, and you're experiencing that deeper and deeper. It's not really about training. A lot of times we look and we say, well, you know, I struggle to speak the gospel because I need to know how to do it. Did you go to a class to talk about how to speak about your kids? Did you go take a class on how to speak about your love for your spouse? Did you go to a class to learn to speak about your love for the Patriots or the Giants or the Jets or the Bills? Did you go to a class to learn how to speak about your love for technology and your iPhone or to speak about anything else you're passionate about? No. No, the people in our lives we care most about because of a relationship, we have no problem sharing about the overflow of our heart and our affection for them. So our struggle to be fluent in speaking about the gospel is not about needing more training, but it's needing to know Jesus more. It's about this relationship and going deeper into it. You know, in our culture, in our nation, on the battlefield, we honor and respect men and women who, for love of their country, have sacrificed their lives to protect our freedom, right? Memorial Day, reflect on it throughout the year. We honor those that have died, given their lives for us. On Veterans Day, we honor and respect the men and women who, for love of their country and love for their family and friends, were willing to die, to step out and put their lives on the line for our nation and for the people that they love more than anything else in this world, so they could continue to walk forward with liberty. Now, my hunch is there's many more times throughout the year that all of us demonstrate our gratitude to those sacrifices, to those commitments, to the men and women who have served in the armed forces. I doubt Veterans Day or Memorial Day, the only two times a year where you reflect on how on those that served in the military. Probably many of us could talk about how we were at the diner or restaurant, we bought a meal for somebody in uniform, or we bought them coffee, or we just pulled them aside at the airport terminal and shook their hand and thanked them for their service. I mean, the fact they're willing to die for our country is an incredible, incredible gift. And I would assume that all of us make a regular habit of expressing our gratitude to those people. And without taking anything away from the incredible servicemen and women in our armed forces and the commitments they make for our nation, we need to understand Jesus' sacrifice was different. See, on Good Friday, the weekend of Easter, when we reflect on the death of Jesus, his sacrifice is not the same as what we see for our nation. See, when we reflect on Jesus' death on the cross, there's a difference. And Paul points to that in Romans chapter 5. He says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, not the godly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, or you could say for a good reason, someone might possibly dare to die. That encompasses servicemen and women dying for the nation, dying for a good reason, laying down their life, being willing to do that. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were sinners, not perfect, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood has paid the penalty for our sin, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath, which is what we deserve? We've read about that in Ephesians 2, right? We are children of wrath. We've read about that throughout this series. How much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I think many Christians don't really understand the significance of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We don't really get which side we were on when Jesus died. See, Jesus didn't die for us because we were already on his team. He did not lay down his life because we were fighting side by side on the battlefield of this world and we were in the same battalion. No, we're told that we were on opposite sides of the battlefield. Jesus stood alone. The rest of humanity and our sin was on the other side. And while we were children of wrath in opposition to God, while we were guilty, the one who was innocent willingly offered his life. He was crucified to pay the penalty for the sins of his enemies. Jesus laid his life down for people that turned their back on him. He laid his life down for people that spit on him. He was crucified by the very people he came to save. And at first, we need to admit, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would someone die for their enemies? What would be so compelling to cause someone to not just be willing, but to lay down their life for someone that had turned their back on them? You don't normally want to die for someone like that. You want them to die, right? I mean, this would be like Captain Kirk dying for the Klingons who killed his son, right? Or this would be like Luke Skywalker laying down his life so the Empire could continue. This would be like Edigo Montoya sacrificing himself for Wesley in The Princess Bride, rather than trying to get vengeance for the death of his father. Or this would be like Rick Grimes giving up his life for Negan, right? Why would someone give up their life for their enemy? Why would the Son of God give up his life for us when we were in opposition to him? Because of love. And not just an ooey-gooey romantic kind of love, but a love that had power. The power of which would cause him with peace to walk the road to Calvary. The kind of power that when we get close to it and we start to experience it, it begins to transform us. God's love holds so much power. His death and his resurrection, they alter our standing. They change the side of the battlefield that we're on instantly. And we are no longer who we once were. We are no longer enemies of God. We are now friends of God. We're children of God. It's one thing when someone lays their life down for a friend. When someone jumps in front of a bullet for a friend, it's one thing when someone pushes their child out from in the middle of traffic because of love. It's something else when an enemy lays down their life to someone opposed to them. That's the heart of our Father. When we start to wrap our minds around this, it deepens our love response to God because we see so much deeper how undeserving we were of the sacrifice of Christ. And the only way that we start to talk about Jesus more is not because we went to a class to be equipped or to learn how to talk about Jesus. The only way we start to talk more about him is when our heart is stirred more by what he did for us, how he demonstrated his love. If our affection for our Savior is stirred up, then our language, the overflow of our heart, will leak out of our mouths. We talk about what we love. If you don't talk about Jesus or your faith very much, the biggest reason may be that you haven't really fallen in love with God, the God who gave his life to set you free, the one who saved you, the one who redeemed you, the one who restored you, who transferred you from the enemy's camp to his camp in an instant. But see, the same is also true, the inverse of this. Not only do we talk about what or who we love most, but we also fall more in love with what we talk about. We fall more in love with what we talk about. That was what was coming out of me in the summer of 2006 as I was on that car ride with a close friend, with a mentor. As I'm talking more about this girl I'd started dating, it's just evidence that I'm just in the act of love developing and deepening and growing in me. Emotion follows devotion. The more you talk about the big game you're going to see at the stadium or the race you're going to see at the racetrack at Watkins Glen or whatever, the more you talk about it 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, going to Daytona in February, the more excited you get about that experience. The more you talk about going on vacation, that exotic place that's beautiful and warm when the snow is flying in New York, then the more excited you get about it, you can't wait. The more you talk about the baby that's coming, the more thrilled you are. The more you talk about your kids finally moving out of the house, the more you can actually believe it's going to happen someday. The more you talk about your dreams for the future, the more you can't wait to get into the future. The more you talk about getting to see Star Wars 8 in a month, the more excited you are to see who Ray's family is. And the more you talk about how much Jesus has rescued you, how much he's changed you, how much you see he's accomplished for you, how much you see his plan for your life's bigger than your own, the more passionate and deep your affection for him will grow. We talk about what we love. We fall more in love with what it is or who it is we talk about. And lastly, we talk about what works for us. If a certain exercise or diet plan worked for you and brought about results, you talk about it. If a certain medication or doctor that you went to see worked for you, they helped you get through a roadblock in your life, you talk about that doctor, that practice, that medicine. If a certain app that you downloaded changed your life, you talk about it. If a certain store you shop at always sends you discounts in your email because you're a rewards member, you tell people about it. If certain disciplines or behaviors or habits or routines that you've discovered in your life as it relates to your health or your marriage or your parenting or in your job or career or education or with your finances, what works for us, we talk about. The gap, though, is that many people call themselves a follower of Jesus, a Christian, and they don't talk about the gospel in their life because they haven't really experienced how the gospel works for them. And part of the issue there is that many Christians think the gospel is about getting to heaven when they die, and because they haven't died yet, they don't know for sure if the gospel has worked for them yet. They have an incomplete, small view of this good news of Jesus. But see, for the person that's walking with Christ day in and day out, that's diving into his word and discussion with others to explore who is God, what has he done, who does he say that I am, how's he calling me to respond? For the person that enters into those discussions, for the person who's walking with God daily and they're experiencing forgiveness, but they're also experiencing the freedom that comes from forgiving other people, and they're experiencing healing and they're experiencing restoration of relationships, and they feel filled by his love and his power and his acceptance. Even though they don't feel acceptable, they know he accepts them. And they're experiencing peace and love and joy and patience that they didn't think they were capable of. They're discovering a new depth of self-control they didn't think was possible in their life. For someone experiencing the gospel and the power of salvation, the power of God's love to transform them, you can't shut them up about it. It's not because they went to a class to learn how. It's because their life is not the same as it once was, and that's only because of one person, one name, and that's the name of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus changes us. And when it changes us, we talk about it. And if we're going to be fluent in the gospel, we need to stop and reflect, how is the gospel working in me and on me and through me and for me? How is he changing me? How's he at work in your life right now? Where is God revealing himself to you? And if you think you're going to enter into these conversations just by coming to church when it's convenient in your schedule, it's not going to happen on Sunday morning. There's a reason why as our church gets bigger, we have to get smaller. We have to be connected to each other in a smaller environment than this. The gospel of Jesus changes us, and we have to enter into dialogue about that change. For one, to give him glory and praise. But for two, to take the next step he has for us, because he's not done with us yet. We talk about what we love. We fall more in love with what or who we talk about, and we talk about what works for us. Is your faith alive and active in such a way that you're comfortable talking about it? Is the gospel in you? Because if it's not in you, it can't leak out of you. Is your heart overflowing with gratitude and love towards God's Son who gave up everything for you? And is the gospel working in you and on you? Is it working for you? Are there aspects of the gospel that you haven't yet discovered, that you haven't yet applied, or you aren't currently believing to be true about our God and all he's done to reclaim you, what is it you talk about? What is it that's easy for you to enter into discussion about? Are you willing to accept this practical challenge to listen this week? Listen to others and begin the process of self-reflection, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to listen to talk. Am I speaking about how my life has been forever changed because of you? Or am I settling for a God that is much smaller, small g, and I'm talking about how I think I've been saved because of this marriage or having kids or having a family or having a house or being financially set, or I'm being saved because my sports team's doing well, or I'm being saved because I get to do what I want with my free time and we've got some disposable income and margin in our lives? What's the topic of conversation most readily and easily available to you to have? And are we listening to what comes out of our mouth so we can examine what it is our heart is full of? Let's pray. Father God, this can seem like a very simple, practical thing. And yet, Lord, for every single one of us, there's probably been seasons in our lives where we wrestle with guilt and shame. God, I pray right now that if there's anyone here and they just kind of feel guilty that they don't talk about Jesus, they feel ashamed, if they feel ill-equipped, like, I love Jesus, but I don't know how to talk about him. Lord, would you help give them the courage to write on their communication card, they need to be a part of a group, a small group, a disciple maker group, a community group, something. They've got to enter into dialogue. They've got to develop this language of speaking about the gospel and help them to see the reality that until they do that, create a safe place where they can experiment with speaking the gospel, it's never going to happen in relationships outside of those with people who are our fellow believers, fellow Christians. Lord, I pray that you would give us the reminder throughout the week that you'd help us listen, not to the words of others as much as we're listening to their hearts. We're listening to the overflow of their hearts, sharing what it is they're most passionate about. God, we know that that's kind of a dangerous thing for us to enter into because there's some people that are filled with a lot of toxic stuff. God, as we listen to other people, would you increase our compassion for the mission field you've placed us in, our school, our college, the bus we ride, the place we work, the place we shop, the gas station, wherever we find ourselves this week, our own home. God, would you help us to listen, and not just to listen from a pragmatic standpoint, but God, help us to listen so that it would stir our affection for you and stir your affection in us for people that are far from you. Jesus, you are clear in Luke chapter 15. You didn't come. You didn't come for the found, you came for the lost. You were willing to risk the 99 that were found to set the church, as we would call it today, aside in your peripheral and make the focus Zacchaeus, make the focus the Samaritan woman at the well, make the focus Jairus and his daughter, make the focus let them dictate a change in your schedule and put those who were found aside. Lord, would you help us to live those same kind of lives, to see our lives on mission? It's not a mission of conversion. It's not a mission where we try to gauge results and take responsibility for results, Lord. It's a mission of love, loving people into the loving arms of Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world in which we live. God, this is not something we're capable of, not something we have power for. It's something only the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of salvation to work within us can accomplish. And so we ask you, Lord, to help our hearts be willing and surrendered, so that our natural can meet your super and we can experience a love relationship with you that goes to a depth we've never experienced before. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. because every single one of us is flawed, sinful, self-focused. I'm at the front of that list, God. I'm at the front of that line. In my flesh, God, so often I drift back into thinking what's best for me and what's convenient for me and what's comfortable for me. When stress and weariness begin to weigh on me, God, I can be so quick to withdraw, to disengage, to not be as focused, to just live as a prisoner to bad news even. And yet, God, you've created us to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus, who enter into these kinds of conversations, not by just sitting through a worship experience and feeling good and then 12 hours later feeling depleted and empty and can't wait to get back into that building and have to take a day off work so we can't even function. No, God, that's not the life you designed us for. You have redeemed us for more and better life than we could ever imagine. But yet sometimes, Lord, we just have our hands out like saying, okay, give it to us now, God. We're ready. You can give it to us. We'll enjoy it. But you want to transform us. You want us to learn to trust you more and more. The good days and the bad days. And part of that, Lord, is following your Holy Spirit's lead to change that internal dialogue. To be able to identify those temptations and desires that we have. Those bad habits that are part of who we used to be. And identify the truths of the gospel as they apply into our life, that our value and worth can never be realized by something in the flesh. But our value and worth is most significantly revealed in the life of the Son of God given for us. Nothing casts a shadow on that demonstration of worth and love. God, would you help us as a body grow in learning this language? Would you continue as these next 6 weeks of this series, God, we shift into the practice of it? God, it's been our hope that over these first couple of weeks that you're developing within us a hunger to learn to speak the gospel. But we need your Holy Spirit to lead us into what that looks like, how we do it. How do we become fluent? We trust your Holy Spirit to do that, Lord. We know that what you begin in us, you bring to completion. So we claim that promise of the gospel. You don't leave us hanging. You don't forsake us. You don't abandon us. But would you help us cultivate this hunger, Lord, to grow in every way into fullness of Jesus Christ by learning to speak the truth in love. And it's in the awesome name of Jesus we pray. Amen.